Great to see so many people here. First time in 2021 that we've actually assembled together physically. And that's great. And I just rejoice in that and I thank God for that. Praise His name. And I just want to... I'm all zoomed out, I was saying earlier on to somebody. I've had enough of Zoom for now. Praise God for the technology.
Yeah.
It's been good to be able to continue to share the Word of God and to encourage one another. But it is so much better to be with one another and to be able to see one another in the flesh and just be together. It is so wonderful. I'm just sorting my notes out, so I'm not preaching this bit. I've done that. You'll have to listen to that on the website. What do you think to the new platform?
Yeah.
Hey? I got to admit that when we sort of when I planned it, all we've done is covered the existing platform that was there, which was only a few inches high. And I looked at it when we built it and I thought, oh dear, it's too big. But the brethren assure me it's fine. We've done okay. But I would like to thank the team of builders. Literally from October last year through to just this last week, we have been doing practical work in the church. There's an office upstairs that's been replastered, insulated, new ceiling, new floor carpet, etc. Lots of work being done on it, new platform. And we've got a great team of young men. Says he'll renew my youth like the eagles. So actually, I think the average age of the team was about 75. And then we had a young man working with us, Daniel, bless him. So it was great together. And also Leonard came and did the electrics for us, which we really appreciate. His hand of blessing to us in that way. And so... And not only that, not only did we have workers, but we needed people bringing in supplies.
Yeah.
We needed people bringing in supplies, cups of tea, and Joan, and my wife Grace, and soup, and we had soup from Christine at times, and soup from Grace, homemade soups. And then, just a couple of weeks ago, I want to share this little testimony. I got a message from somebody through the messenger site, and the name was on my messenger, but I couldn't put a face to the person. I had a name but no face, and this person wrote to me a message and said, how long does it take? Oh no, it said, I need a miracle, how long does it take? And I'm like, whoa, now that is a question. What would you say if somebody said to you, I need a miracle, well, how long is it going to take? Eh? Oh, okay. You don't know the person?
No.
You can't put a face to the name? And I'm thinking, what do I say? So I said, meet me at the church. And this lady arrived at church, Sukran. And we shared the Word of God through Google Translate. She's Turkish, should I say? She's Turkish, and so we shared the gospel through Google Translate for an hour and a half. And then she said to me, "I'll come back next week." This was towards the end of it. She said, "I'll come back next week, Monday or Tuesday, and I will bring food." So we've added a Turkish cuisine to our workers' menu, and it has been absolutely delightful. And I just want to say thank you again, as I say, to the team of workers, to the team of providers, because they've also brought sustenance and strength. So I just want to say thank you. Secondly, I would like to say thank you to everybody that has given to my Facebook page. When I had my birthday, I put a giving page up, and you and others have managed to raise nearly £2,000 towards building this platform and for the carpeting. I mean, we've spent quite a bit of money. We do intend to carpet the whole of the building in the next few weeks. I think we should be taking up a bit of a special offering. We're a little bit short, but praise God, we're rejoicing in God's provision and what God has already done for us. He's doing great and mighty things. And I just want to bless you and encourage you in Jesus' name. We started a couple of three Sundays ago talking about Jesus, and he's saying, I am. I am. Right? And I'll just give you the ones that we've done. And as I say, if you want to go on the church website, one of the first ones we did, he said, I am the bread of life. Praise God. Amen. He's our sustenance and our strength. He said, I am the light of the world. Praise God. You know, when it all seems dark, when it seems difficult, when it seems hopeless, he says, I'm the light. Amen. I'll walk you through this situation. The third one was, I am the door. Wow. He's our entrance. He's our way into the presence of God.
Amen.
Jesus is the answer. Hallelujah. And so today, I want to try and get through I am the Good Shepherd, and also get to I am the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah. So hold tight, sit tight. If you want to take notes, grab your Bibles, bear with me. I'm going to try and race through and encourage you today. I am so excited about being here with you, and I thank God for the presence of the Lord and for His Holy Spirit. Let's just pray. Father, we just thank you right now. We thank you for your presence that has been already here with us. We thank you, Lord, that you've never left us, you've never forsaken us, and Lord, you've sent your Holy Spirit to be with us and to strengthen us. And Father, I pray that right now your Spirit would move amongst us. Quicken this word to us, O Lord. Lord, open our eyes, open our spiritual eyes to see more of you, more of your presence, more of your anointing, Father. We just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. I am the Good Shepherd. John, Gospel, chapter 10 and verse 11. And Jesus says there, he's declaring this to the local people. He's declaring this to the religious leaders who are supposed to be the shepherds of the children of Israel. And he turns to them and he says, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He's beginning to speak about his destiny, the cross. And so he's there telling these men, and he turns to these men, if you can read through later, I'm going to miss some of it out, but he turns to these leaders, these spiritual leaders who are supposed to be caring for the children of Israel. And he says to them, you're hireling you.
Yeah.
You're just paid workers.
Yeah.
I thank God for the ministry team that we have here.
Amen.
We're not hirelings.
No.
We are committed to this work. We're committed to the people of God.
Amen.
We're committed by the fact that what the word says up above the platform here, God is love. The love of God needs to be flowing out of us, each and every one of us, and out of you and I together. And we will reach the nations. We will reach the area of intake for Jesus. But it is the love of God that will win them. It is the conviction of sin and the love of God that says you're forgiven through Jesus Christ. It is the love of God that sets the captives free. It is the love of God that will change this area in which we live. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so Jesus turns to these Pharisees and the Sadducees and he says to them, "You're just hirelings. You've just turned away from the sheep and you leave them to flounder. You leave them, they have no leader. They have no way." We spoke the other day how the shepherd always went before the sheep. He went before the sheep so that he was checking the grasses. He was seeing if there was any poisonous weeds, because sheep are dumb. Sorry, folks. We all eat, all like sheep have gone astray. So at times we're a bit dumb. We're a bit stupid. You know? We can be very well educated, but we can be stupid. You understand that? Yeah, we can be well educated, but we can be absolutely stupid. And sheep are like that. They follow the shepherd. And so the shepherd goes before them in the eastern nations. And the shepherd would look and find out where the poison was. The poison. And they would remove it. Because the sheep would just eat it. They'll eat anything in sight. If it looks green, it must be okay. But you see, this is where we as a church and we as leaders and spiritual beings, we need to discern what's okay and what's not okay. But you see, the Pharisees and the Sadducees had just they'd fed them anything. They'd fed them rubbish because they wanted to control them. But Jesus said, "I've come to set the captives free." Hallelujah. And Jesus came. And you see, if you look in John chapter 11 and verse 48, we'll just jump forward quickly for a moment. And Jesus says, "He who rejects me," sorry, that's wrong, in verse 11, chapter 11, verse 48, I said into 48, I jumped into 12. "If we let them go on like this, all men will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." The Pharisees, the Sadducees were scared that if Jesus continued doing what he was doing, because he just raised Lazarus from the dead, he was going to cause these shepherds, these Pharisees, these hirelings, to look stupid, to look like they are absolutely have nothing to give, and Jesus, through his authority in God, is usurping them. And they're finding it difficult, and they're like, "We need to shut him up. We need to get rid of him. We need to silence him. He's not making us look good." Not whether you look good, it's whether you've got the anointing.
Amen.
It's not whether you look good, it's whether you love Jesus. It's not whether you look good, it's whether you've got Jesus in your heart.
Amen.
That's what matters. You see, Jesus came as our substitute for our sins. He came as the substitute for our sins and for death and hell, that he might pay the price. So that you and I did not have to face that eternal death.
Yeah.
And to face hell itself.
Yeah.
He came to set us free. He came to give us life.
Amen.
And that more abundantly, it says in John's Gospel, chapter 10 and verse 10. He's come to give us an abundance.
Amen.
Don't live below the level that God wants you to live.
No.
Rise up in the Spirit. I'm not talking about financial blessings, because I tell you this, when you love God, everything else comes in line. God will provide. God will make a way where there is no way. God will always go before you. Because it is about relationship, not about what I've got. It's what He has given to me, what He's given to you. He's the good shepherd. He's taking us to places. He's leading us on into good things. And so today we have to begin to be people who will follow the things of the Spirit of God. Not following what the world is saying, but we follow the Spirit.
Amen.
We should be the anointed ones. We should be those people that when sickness and disease comes against us, the moment it touches us, it dies.
Thank God. Amen.
Think about it for a minute. That can't happen. Why not? Jesus did things like he touched lepers. No, you can't do that. Now you're unclean. You might get leprosy. He raised the dead. Who knows what they died of? Jesus never asked the question. He just took authority.
Amen.
And so we today, Christ in us and we in Christ, should be in that same vein, that same desire, that same passion, that same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, dwells in each and every one of us. And that same Spirit would cause us to triumph over every circumstance and every situation. I am the good shepherd, he says. A good shepherd always looks for a place of safety and security for the sheep. He always makes, we talked about this last week, about the, he said, I'm the door. He's the one who stops the enemy coming in. He's the one who's there to destroy the works of the devil who would seek to attack our lives. Also, the good shepherd, he's the one who brings us to a place. He feeds us on the Word of God. He brings us into that place where he is feeding us on the fullness, on the best of the things of God. God did not save you to shortchange you. He saved you to give you an abundance of life. I remember years ago, a woman said to Grace's mother, something to the effect of, Grace's mother was telling her, well, I'm a Christian, I go to Pentecostal church, and she turned around and said, oh, that's why you dress so shabby. You know, it's like, excuse me? But she didn't. She wasn't. But this was a thing they had in their mind, you see. We're not shabby. We bring the best for Jesus. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And today, people need to be seeing Jesus in us. He's such a wonderful Savior. Verse 14 of chapter 10 says this. I am, Jesus again saying, I am the good shepherd. He's making sure you're going to hear this. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Does Jesus know you? Do you know Jesus? Do you know him as a personal friend? Do you know him as a personal Savior? Jesus is saying, I know my sheep. My sheep know me. You know, there could have been two herds of sheep together, and the shepherd would go, and he would call his sheep, and the sheep would separate, and his sheep would follow his voice. They recognized him. That's how it worked with the shepherds of Israel. Jesus was teaching simple principles. He was showing them, look, it works with simple sheep, but in the same way, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Each and every one of us needs to be hearing the Father's voice. You might say, well, I've never heard God speak to me. Stick around.
Amen.
Stick around. We'll help you tune in. We'll help you hear the voice of Father. We'll help you hear the voice of the Spirit of God speaking right to you. because God wants to have a conversation. He wants to have a relationship with you. It's not about coming through directly through leadership. We just help confirm. We just help lead you into green pastures. He restores my soul. Psalm 23. He leads me into green pastures. He spreads before me a table in the presence of mine enemies. Hallelujah. There's a banquet. There's an abundance right now here for each and every one of us in God. Don't start saying, oh, pity me, poor me. No, no, no. Begin to speak out the words, what He's speaking. He set before me a banqueting table. His banner over me is love. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. Rejoice in that. Begin to make those confessions. Begin to rejoice and begin to declare these things. So often we speak the negatives, don't we? Oh, I'm not feeling well today. Oh, I've got this. Oh, I've got that. And I'm suffering from this. And doctor says I've got this. And doctor says I've got that. Doctor's only guessing, by the way. Do you know that? Because if you check on the doorway coming out, and I know we've got a nurse here and one or two other people, but if you check on the way out or into your doctors, it says he's practicing medicine. I'd like to know who he's practicing on. Hello? It's true? Because they'll say to you, well, I think it might be this. We'll try these. He's practicing. Isn't he? You know, sometimes they get a good guess and get it right. Sometimes you have to go back and say, well, these pills are not having a very good effect on me, you know. I remember once, going back many years, I was preaching in a church where we were in for many years in Bentley, and Len there at the back, he came in and he was in church, and I don't remember what I was preaching on, but I know it was a good word. I knew the Spirit was there, and Len, you know, God spoke to Len. Len had been put on some pills for depression, I think, if I remember rightly. And I preached on, I know what I did preach, and I preached on the fact of what salvation is. That it's not just to save your soul and your body, but it is a complete work. Spirit, soul, body, it's for everything, healing and that. And Len had caught hold of that. He went home that night, because I know he told me this story. He says, I went home that night. He says, I got the pills. He says, and I went to the toilet. And I went, he says, I poured them all down the toilet and flushed them. He says, and I've never taken one since. Amen. Come on, church. Jesus is the deliverer. Jesus is the one that gives you a sound mind. He's the one that set the captives free. Is that right, Leonard? There it is. I'm not making stories up. I'm telling you the truth. This happened. These things happen because we serve a risen Savior. We serve a conquering Savior. We serve a Savior who is mighty. He's the Almighty. He's the Son of God. He's the one who was there at the beginning of creation of all things. This is my Jesus. We're not getting very far. Hallelujah. Verse 16 of chapter 10. Jesus tells them, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. It means not of the children of Israel. He says, I must also bring them. They will hear my voice and they will become one flock with one shepherd. What's he talking about? He's talking about the Gentiles. He's talking about you and me. Hallelujah. He's talking about you and me. He's saying, I've got other sheep and they are coming. They are coming. Well, Jesus, we're here. Hallelujah. We're here, Lord. We're here, Lord. We're here to hear your voice. We're here to obey your voice. We're here to follow you no matter where you take us, Lord. Can you honestly say that? Lord, no matter where you lead me, I'm going to go. Whether I like it or not, I'm going to go there. Whether I like it or not, I'm going to do what you tell me to do. And I'll tell you what, it's not easy to say that because I've been there, done that, got the t-shirt, and I've rebelled at times. And it's the worst thing I ever did. But when I submitted to Jesus, that was the best thing I ever did. And I try constantly to say, submitted to Jesus, to the Spirit, and to the Word of God, and to follow Him. It's the only way. He said, I've come that you might have an abundant life. I come to set the captives free. I do not want to be captive to the enemy. I do not want to be captive to my own thought patterns.
No.
You see, sometimes we blame the devil for things and the devil has got nothing to do with it. You see, the devil cannot be everywhere. And if you are so important that the devil is bothering you, You see, the only power he has is the power that we surrender to him with our thoughts. He only has what we give him.
Yeah.
Jesus came to set captives free.
Amen.
He came to bring release.
Yeah.
He became, Romans 12 talks about the renewing of our minds. And changing our thinking. The only way that works is when we read the Word of God. The Word of God renews our mind. You know, we today think we invented brainwashing. God thought of that a long time ago. The devil was the first one to practice brainwashing. Sowing seeds of doubt, did God say? In the Garden of Eden. Did God say? He didn't say God didn't say because he daren't. Take note of that. The devil did not say God didn't say. He said, did God say? He stuck a question mark behind it. Sowed a seed of doubt. And when you get a seed of doubt in your life, it will grow rapidly. It grows like ivy. It sticks and winds itself around everything. And it takes some getting rid of. Don't let those seeds of doubt be sown. Pull them out. Get rid of them quickly. Verse 17 of the John's Gospel, chapter 10, he says, for this reason, the Father loves me, and because I lay down my life that I may take it again. He's already foretelling what he's going to do. He says, no one has takes it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have the authority to lay it down. I have the authority to take it up again. This commandment I receive from my Father. Jesus knows his position. Jesus knows where he stands. Jesus knows that he's going to lay his life down, but he's also going to take it back up again. He has that authority. And Jesus gave to each and to every one of us the commandment, love one another as I have loved you. He also gave us authority on the earth to be like Jesus. And church today, we need to stand in that authority. We need, as a body of believers, to act upon that authority. We need to declare who we really are, not how we feel. Today you woke up and the sun was shining and you felt great. You might wake up tomorrow and it's raining. Oh, look at it. Easter Monday and it's raining. Typical Easter weather. You know. But the sun's shining. We have a risen Lord. We have a risen Savior. The sun always shines, by the way. Always shines. It's never not shining. There might be a few clouds in the way, but the sun is always shining. Did you get that? And the Son of God is always on the throne. The Son of God is always in charge. There might be a few difficulties that come into our pathway, but he's still in charge. He's still got the authority. And he's given to you the authority over every principality and power in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Jesus said, I've come to set captives free. And he's anointed and appointed each and every one of you to be captive free setters.
Amen. Yeah.
Glory to God. Don't get excited. I'll do it for you. Hallelujah. You know what I mean? You know, I love the congregation that feeds back, you know. Hallelujah. That's where Zoom got me. I found it a challenge to preach on Zoom at first. Oh, dear me. Silence. Total silence coming back. It's like, is there anybody there? I should hate to be a television evangelist, honestly. Oh, no way. Give me the real deal. Give me the real people. Glory to God. And then we come together in one Spirit, one Lord, one Father, one Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You see, the Lord is laying down the rules. He's laying down the guidelines for godly men and women. He's arranged our protection. He's arranged our covering. God has done all of these things through Christ Jesus. We are covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord wants to raise up spiritual gifts in you. God wants to take what you are and to raise up those spiritual gifts and to add to them. You look at the parable of the talents. And to one he gave five and so on, and then one. And the one did nothing with that one talent. And yet the others increased. And God gave to them. And you see, God is about increase. What did he say on the earth? Go forth and subtract. Was it subtract? What? Multiply. Go forth, multiply. And the gifts, or the gift, even if you've only got, you think you've only got one gift, it is there to multiply. It is there, but you have to learn to use the one that God has given to you. It might be preparing beautiful food. What a gift. You know? When you're working hard and you have no time to prepare food, and your strength is running out, and somebody turns up and says, "Food's ready!" You know, oh, praise God, what a joy. And then you're strengthened again. Yeah. Hallelujah. And so whatever gift, you know, no gift is too small. Remember the woman with the widow's mite. The rich man there banging his wealth in, bing, 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 you know, it's like the bells were ringing. And this widow, she just brought this smallest coin, tiniest coin you could get, and just dropped it in quietly. And Jesus said, she's given everything. She's given everything. He gave out of his abundance. He just gave. He gave pocket change. That's what Jesus was saying. He just gave his back pocket change. He didn't give. It was out of his back pocket. Oh, I've got some loose change here. I'll put that in. But the woman came and she gave her everything. Everything. She would receive a greater reward. God has given to you. You might say, well, I don't know what it is. Well, you stick around with us and we'll find it for you, with you. And we will see God moving in your life and changing your destiny and changing your future and giving you a hope and a development in the future of the things of God. Together we are to be the army, the marching army of the Lord Jesus Christ. Together we have the victory again and again and again. You know, Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 2 to 5, preach the word, be in season. And even out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Sometimes the word of God will rebuke you. Sometimes it will reprove you. Sometimes it will encourage you. Hallelujah. I'm hoping most of the time it encourages you. But there are times sometimes when the word of God just, I mean, I've literally felt sometimes as if God has just slapped me across the face. It's like, whoa. I miss that. You know, God spoke to me in such a way that it shook me. I remember one time the Lord, I honestly felt in the spirit realm that God wanted, I did something. I allowed somebody, when we first started off in ministry, I allowed somebody to pay me monthly. And they thought from that point on they were going to control me. And God delivered me from that situation. And when He delivered me from it, He came and spoke to me. And He literally shook me. And He said to me, never, ever get yourself in that situation again. And I'm like, I got it. You know, I mean, I was shaken by it. It's never happened since, and it never will. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. Oh, hallelujah. He loves me. He loves you. He died for you. Paul goes on to say with Timothy, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall turn unto fables. Today we're seeing that. We're seeing that in the world today. We're seeing that even in churches. They want entertainment. They want flashing lights and smoke machines. Let's have it like a disco. Well, go to the disco, because if that's your spirit, then go to the disco. Sin all you've got to sin and then come back and repent and let God sort you out. Oh, you can't say that, Andrew. Well, unless you have had your belly full of it, and unless you get hold of Jesus, nothing can save you. The disco can't help you. Oh, it's great, you know, I'm bopping and, you know, I'm having a great, great time. Yeah, good for you. Dance your way to hell. Church is blacked out. The Bible says God is light. I am the light of the world. Around the throne of God in Revelation, flashing lights. The throne is glowing with the glory of God. Maybe that's what they're trying to do in churches, imitate the Revelation around the throne room, flashing lights and smoke machines. But we're around the throne room with God. You know what I mean? No way. I want to see the very presence. I want to hear the very voice. I want to see the touch of healing power of God flowing through people's lives. This church over the years has seen so many people healed. This church has actually seen dead people raised. This church has seen blind eyes and deaf ears opened. It's the power of Jesus. I'm not saying that it's Harvest Fields. It's the Jesus that is in Harvest Fields. That's what it is. It's all about Jesus. If we have anything else other than Jesus, then we've got a sect. It's Jesus. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And so Paul goes on to say to Timothy, be watchful in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of your ministry. I'm going to have a right good go at that. My energy levels are... I'm still 21 in my head. And I'm still working and strengthened in God. I'm still rejoicing. I'm still pushing forward. I am more on fire now than I was 20 odd years ago. Isn't that right? I'm crazier now for Jesus than I was 20 odd years ago. And I can remember people who I know who got to my age that I am now, suddenly the fire began to go out. And I'm thinking, dear God, what's gone wrong? I'm dreading, I don't want to get to that age. Well, I tell you what, the boiler's stoked. I've got plenty of fuel on board and I am ready. My turbos are ready to be let loose and go for Jesus. And I've said, you know, this last year, the devil has robbed me of a year. A trip to Czech Republic. A trip to Cuba on missions work. And Czech Republic and Romania. The devil, through this virus, has robbed me. I've said, devil, I need 7 more years. You've stolen from me. I'm having 7 more years added to my life. I will fulfill the calling. I will fulfill the plan of the Lord on my life. I declare it before principalities and powers and before heaven and the courts of heaven in Jesus' name. Amen? Join me in it. Stand with me. Praise God. I've got to move on to I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah. Death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? It's resurrection. One day we will pass from death into eternal life. In the blink of an eye. In a moment. To be with, Paul said, for me to die is gain. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Is that your voice? Is that your saying? For me to live is Christ, to die is going to be a gain. Anyway, I'm not going to lose in any way, shape or form. Some people said in the past, becoming a Christian, that means you're going to be poor and you're going to not have this and you can't do that and you can't do this and can't do that. You won't. Glory to you. I tell you this, when I packed in working in industry on a very good wage, the next thing we began to do, not long afterwards, we started to travel. At one time, I think we were doing 3 or 4 trips to the USA. And a lot of them we were doing for next to nothing, price-wise. God was blessing us in such a wonderful way. And God was proving to me, yet again, His promises are true. He said, I will keep you in that you are accustomed to, and even greater. I'd never been to the USA prior to that. The moment I quit working in industry, we were off. God was at work. God is faithful to His promises. God is faithful to His people. And when you put Jesus first, when you put Jesus in the very center of your life, and let Him be the resurrection and the life, there's an abundant life in Jesus. There is joy in Jesus. There is power in that mighty name of the Lord Jesus. John's Gospel, chapter 11. And verse 25. Just before this part, before we get to that, this is the story of how Lazarus had died. And he was now in the tomb for 4 days. By now he stinketh. He's begun to decay. His body is now rotting. His blood has congealed in his veins. He's dead, 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 and dead. Did you hear that? And Jesus says in John's Gospel, chapter 11 and verse 11, He says, but I go to await Him. I go to awake Him. I go to bring Him back. Yeah. You see, He said to His disciples, they were concerned that He was ill, and Jesus says He's asleep. So they all thought, oh great, He's asleep. He must be recovering now. He's asleep, you know. He's okay. And Jesus said, no. You're not listening, are you? He's dead. But I go to awake Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, awake our spirits. Awake us, O Lord. Awake us from sleep.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, there is so much going on in government at the moment against the church.
Yeah.
And the lesbians and the gays and all that sort of stuff. They're only a small minority, but they are shouting so loud. Church,
yeah.
It's time to let your voice be heard. It's time to stand. It's time to see and do the work of the Master. It's time to do the things of God. And see the power of God flowing through our lives.
Amen.
And Jesus said that today the Lord has come to awake us.
Yes, definitely.
It's the power of the cross.
Amen.
That's what it is. It's the power of the name of Jesus. His saving power and His victory over death and hell to bring you into your eternal victory in Christ Jesus. Bring you into the presence of the Father. He loves you. Look at somebody nearby and tell them, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. Jesus loves you. Tell somebody. You might say, I'm afraid to do it. Well, don't be afraid. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but He has given you a spirit of love and a sound mind. Glory to God. Don't be afraid of your own voice. I used to be timid till I got to 18. I was shy. I'd stand here and, you know, I needed something in front so you couldn't see this happening. I got to 18 and I got filled with the Holy Spirit. I was injected with something from heaven and I began to change. And I'm still changing. I'm still changing. Being changed into the image, into the glory, into the presence and the power of God. And God wants to do that in each and every one of our lives. Filled with the Spirit. Empowered by the Spirit. That we might know Him whom to know is life eternal. In chapter 11 and verses 21, Martha therefore says to Jesus, He's arrived at the place where Lazarus lived, Bethany, and he says, Martha says to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Let me tell you this. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. And Martha's saying, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. And Jesus said to her, your brother shall rise again. And Martha goes on to say, Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am. I am the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah. I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me shall live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? And she said to him, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. She knew it in her head. She'd got it up here. It had clicked here. But it needs to register here. The Spirit of God, it needs to resonate within your spirit. It's no good up here. It has got to come from the fanatic in the attic. It's got to go down to the fella in the cellar, the Spirit of God. And let that Spirit catch the truth and the power of God's Word. It is not by intellect that you find Jesus, but it is by the Spirit that you find Jesus. God is a Spirit, and those who come to Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. It did not say you must come to Him and worship Him with your mind, with your intellect, with your wisdom, with your knowledge, but it says come to Him and worship Him in spirit. when we came to Christ, we sing this chorus at times, I am a new creation. No more. No more. No more in condemnation. But here by the grace of God, I stand. By His grace. By His choice, I stand. By His mercy, I stand. Because He loves us. He cares for each and every one of us. And in verse 25, I said there, it says, and Jesus said to, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And she says, yes, she does. She does, but I say, you know, she's still not quite got it. But Jesus then moves on in verse 32. Therefore, then Mary came to Jesus. She saw him and fell at his feet and saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and was troubled. But it's not over yet. It's not over yet. Your answer is on its way. God's provision is on its way to you right now. In Jesus' name. Verse 40. And Jesus said to her, did I not say to you, if you believe, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. And so they removed away the stone. And Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hast heard me always. But because of the people standing around, I said it, that they may believe that you did hear me. And when he had said these things, oh, I like this verse. I like this verse. Glory to God. I thank God Jesus knows my name. Does he know your name? Glory to God. In this verse, he says this. He says, I thank God that you've heard me. And then he says, he cried out, verse 43, he cried out with a loud voice. Jesus didn't go, Lazarus, Lazarus, just in case something's going to happen, Lazarus, come forth. No. He says he cried out in a loud voice. Lazarus! Come forth!
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. I tell you what, it's a good job he called him by name. Because there'd have been a lot more coming up out of the graves. There would have been an absolute panic on in Bethany at that time in the local graveyard. Can you imagine everybody popping up? Did somebody call me? Hey? Not quite time. Wait while a few days and then it'll happen. Lazarus! Come forth! Grace and I have been to Israel and we went to what is supposed to be the grave, the tomb of Lazarus. And seriously, you come in off the street and you go down a number of steps. Maybe 5 steps. And you go down in a bit of a circle, don't you? A sweep of a circle. And then there's this stone where Lazarus is supposed to have been laid. Now, if you remember, he said he was wrapped in grave clothes. Now, just let your mind loose for a minute, your imagination. When Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus rose up. He levitated up off this tombstone. He levitated up 5 or 6 stairs. Till he finally stood at the door of the tomb. He stood there, wrapped in grey clothes. He cannot move. Jesus said, loose him. Loose him. Loose him and let him go. Can you imagine the face on these religious people? You do it. I'm not doing it. You do it. I'm not going anywhere near him. They were terrified. Loose him and let him go. Today, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus, he's come to loose you and let you go. He's come to set you free. He's come to give you eternal life. He's come to send his love. He sent his son Jesus because he loves you. He died on a cross. On Friday they crucified him. They beat him from all recognition. He was bruised and marred and nobody could recognize him. They couldn't believe how they'd beaten him. His back was torn open. It was shredded. That's what it was like. That whip that they used was full of lead and nails. And they whipped him with it and it tore his flesh. There was blood all over. His face was battered so much that you couldn't recognize who it was. His beard had been plucked out. They made him carry a cross. They laid him upon that cross. They hammered nails into his hands and his feet. And then finally they took a spear and they pierced his side to make sure he was finished. Jesus did it for me. He did it for you. He did it to set you free. He did it to give you a life. A life with joy, a life with passion, a life with fullness and peace. A life that will give God the glory. He did it to draw you to Himself. He did it because God is love. And Jesus came to show His love for each and every one of us. And that is what happened on Friday. Hallelujah. But this morning,
amen.
God called his name.
Amen.
God did exactly what Jesus did to Lazarus. And he called his name and he shouts, Jesus, arise! And Jesus left hell, conquered hell, brought the keys of death and hell. And was victorious over all.
Amen.
And when Mary and Martha and the disciples saw him, he says they recognized him. In the end, they recognized him. He was no longer beaten and bruised. He carried the nail prints.
Yeah.
He carried the wound in his side. But they recognized, it is my Jesus. It is my Lord. And today, I want to give you an opportunity. If you've never asked this, my Lord Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Savior of the world, into your heart and life, then today I'm going to give you an opportunity to ask Jesus to come into your heart, to come into your life. Some of you may have done this years ago and have grown cold in your heart, grown cold in your relationship with Him, have lost that communication with Him. I'm going to give you an opportunity today. I want to reconnect with Him. I want a new and fresh relationship with Jesus. I want Him to know me and I want to know Him in a new way. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. Is there anybody here who has never asked the Lord Jesus to come into their lives? Has never admitted that they're a sinner and that they need Jesus to save them, to set them free? If you've never asked the Lord Jesus into your life and today you want to ask Jesus in for the first time, raise your hand and let me see that hand for Jesus. Let me see that hand today for Jesus. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, let me see that hand for Jesus. Anybody? Jesus is calling you by name. He's calling you by name. Is there anyone here who has let their relationship grow cold with the Lord? You say, today, I want a fresh anointing. I want a fresh relationship. I want to renew my walk with Jesus. Just raise your hand for me and we'll pray. Anybody? Jesus died and rose again for you to quicken, to strengthen, to draw you into a deeper relationship for Himself. Anybody needs a fresh anointing, fresh walk, strengthening from the Lord? Just raise that hand. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank You for Your word today. We thank You, Lord, that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Thank You, Lord, that Jesus is the great I Am. And Father, we just pray today for each and every one of our lives. Father, as we have reached out to You, Lord, as we have shared Your word, as we have sought to feed Your people on green pasture, on good things, that Father, it would be, Lord, feed them and cause them to grow, to be strengthened and to be encouraged in the things of the kingdom, Father. And I pray, Lord, that even if there is today a debate going on in individuals' lives about making a decision for You, I pray, Lord, You would wrestle with them through the night watches until they receive that breakthrough, Father. Lord, for those who need a quickening in their relationship, Father, I pray that, Lord, You bring a quickening. You bring a strengthening. And, Lord, You bring them into a new relationship like something they've never experienced before. Just ask this, Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.